The Business on RT Radio 1 with Ulster Bank. For when you're keen to know what Brexit means for your business, visit ulsterbank.ie/Brexit.
This morning we're coming live from Bloom and we're joined now by a legend of Irish gardening. Helen Dillon has been in the business for many, many years. She's toured the world giving lectures about horticulture. She's written books and has inspired many down through the years. Helen, you're very welcome to the programme. How did you get started in all of this? Were you very young?
I was about 3 or 4 and my great-grandmother, who was actually American, was mad keen on bluebells and what was the other thing I particularly had? And anyway, the first flowers I saw, I thought it was completely magic. And sorry to be so corny about it. And sorry about this side of my face. I had a disagreement with the pavement. And I'm better this way.
You're looking great. You look great.
Anyway, so just from the start, I find it irresistibly beautiful. Everything to do with plants.
But there must have been something between lots of people will enjoy looking at flowers and looking at plants, but they don't necessarily think about how do I make that happen? How do I learn how to make that happen? Were you shown by your grandparents or?
Yeah, there were grandparents on both sides and great aunts and things like that on both sides. My father was quite keen, but he only got keen for about 2 months. And then he was mad keen and bought everything in sight. But I've just been keen on it all my life. I'm just repeating myself madly.
But do you remember when you first started planting and working with plants?
Yes, because I was greedy to grow them. Therefore, I had to learn how to grow them. And I had to see them coming out of the ground and see where I put the roots and what soil I got for them and how I could make them flourish, how they'd be happy with me.
And at some point then, after school and you got a little bit older, there was the beginnings of this turning into a career for you. What was your first job connected with gardening?
My first job was I wrote a letter to a very famous gardener of the time who ran a thing called... brain's gone. It was
a publication, was it, or a magazine?
It was a gardening magazine called... I can't even remember its name, but I wrote to the editor and said I was mad about gardening, please so I could come and work for him. I lived in Scotland at the time. And he said I could. And so I started learning it correctly, that things had to be in Latin. That didn't worry me at all, because I was learning straight away to begin with. And people are frightened of Latin, but it's so explanatory. And it teaches you things, and you can learn where the plant comes from, what the plant, how it grows and everything, if you start to...
So as part of this job then, you had to know or to learn the correct Latin term for all of these...
I had to understand that it had to be correct. And there was a wonderful man in this place called A.J. Huxley. He was one of the Huxleys, one of those brilliant, but very brilliant family. And he also taught me a lot. I learned a lot to begin with. Although I wasn't taught properly at school, was my mother only wanted me to get to... She wouldn't send me to university. My brothers went to university. She only wanted to make absolutely sure I got married. That was the only thing that mattered in those days.
And along the way, when it comes to names of plants, you must have come across some fairly unusual ones, have you?
Yes, I have. And I remember bad story that ought to wake you up is there was a famous slightly tender rose called Lady Hillingdon, and they always said about Lady Hillingdon, because she had to grow in a nice temperate warm garden, she's no good in bed and best against the wall.
I won't ask you what the Latin for that was. And then, of course, in terms of your own career and your own travels, you must have seen some wonderful gardens. And where are your favourite places that you have visited around the world?
Well, I've been extremely lucky, because to me the most exciting thing is to see a plant in its original habitat. So you're seeing what sort of soil it likes, what it should look like, how high up the mountain it is. And I've been to some wonderful places, such as Mount Ome in China. I went with a trip with, you've probably heard about, he's a great fellow,
That's probably a few years ago now, was it? But what would have made that place so special for you? What was it about?
Well, what really happened when I got to the top of the mountain at Mount Ome, which is a very tall mountain in China, was I was very hungry that day, and I found someone, a sort of stand that was quite high up the mountain, was selling biscuits. So I thought the best thing to do is buy a bag of biscuits, and I sort of got separated from the rest of the group, and I started to eat the biscuits. And the next minute, I was a horde of large monkeys. Now, they weren't cozy little cuddly monkeys. They were big, hefty ones that you'd think were more like baboons or things.
Right.
Anyway, a gang of them came out of the bushes and snatched the biscuits off me and then ran for their life, cackling. Cackling they were, cackling and eating the biscuits.
And another one is Alaska. People think, we don't necessarily associate Alaska, people think of freezing tundra and all of that. You've been to Alaska, and it's a beautiful place for growth
well,
and for plants.
The extraordinary thing is, you have 3 months of growth, and you have wonderful flowers and normal flowers, and the sort of thing that's actually even difficult to grow around here, like the Himalayan blue poppies. If any of you tried Himalayan blue poppies, which is a very beautiful thing. But even Ireland is just too warm. They like it very cool. But in the Himalayan, they grow beautifully there for the 3 months, and then they go back to snow everywhere. And I did actually do a talk in Alaska at one point, and they'd arranged without telling me that I was going to go on this sledge that was, you're lying on the snow, and the sledge runs over the snow, and in front of you are 8 or 10 large dogs that look like
these
wolves.
Husky
that,
dogs.
They're very sweet. What are they called?
Huskies, is it? Or
Huskies, husky that's what they're called. Yeah. Huskies, yes. And anyway, what they don't tell you is all the dogs, when it comes to going to the loo, none of the dogs actually stop, but all the dogs decide at the same time they need to go to the bathroom. So basically, you're lying on the ground being pulled over on speed, and suddenly this sort of shower of shit sort of hits you in the eye. and that was so if you go to Alaska, whatever you do, take an umbrella in front of you.
So you get a dose of wildlife and nature you weren't necessarily expecting. And in terms of gardens, you have seen so many trends, and we talked about themes that bloom this year, and one of the themes that a lot of people are talking about is wilder gardens,
yes, wilder gardens.
Sustainable gardens. Is that something that you would see, that you have seen before? Is it's coming back, or is this something very new?
I think it's fairly new, and I think we haven't quite settled down with it. But I particularly enjoyed seeing a little bit of the side of the road, somewhere near here, not very far away, and the corporation, presumably, had planted dandelions and daisies and all those ordinary things. And it was absolutely a joy to see, because you can imagine that that's what the bees and things want. And I'm very pro that idea. It doesn't mean to say I don't want to give up gardening in the ordinary way, but I'm particularly anxious that there aren't quite enough bumblebees about, and aren't quite enough. We need more of them. It's a bit of a worry. Sorry.
Reflecting back on your career, has it been? You've had a very successful career in gardening. Was it something that? What was the secret to that for you to building a career and a successful career over so long?
Gosh, I wish I could think of a good answer. I just long to get better at it. I long to get better at gardening. I still adore gardening. It's not a problem for me. You're never going to get very rich in gardening, because there's nobody... you can become a very top designer, and then you'll make a lot of money.
But say you still want to get better at it after all these
years.
You're not going to hang up the gloves anytime soon.
Well, the main thing that's happened recently is I moved house, and we sold our old house and bought a new, slightly smaller one. And I absolutely hate the word, if there's anybody here, I hate the word downsizing. And I hate that. It makes me think of some dirty old big comfy chair that you're sitting by for the whole of your life, and there's just a sort of a bit of a fire in front of you. And you're not going outside. I think the most exciting thing I've done in the last 5 years is start a new garden. Because if you live in an old garden, all you're doing is acting like a nursemaid. You're wiping its bottom and looking after it and watering it, because there's no space. We'd lived in the same place for 45 years. There's no place to create anything. And I like to, which is my own phrase, but I've said it over and over again, is I like to be... I don't want to be a curator, I want to be a creator. And that is the fun. So the best thing you can do at old age is to buy a new small garden.
Well, it's wonderful, Helen Dillon, that you're so energised and enthusiastic about that new garden. Helen, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.